world and on satellite.
That
system. I just got an email from someone, don't believe he's listening to this on the radio, but I know that he has recently signed on to the Kingdom News List, and I believe he signed on to the network in his area. He's a pastor, and he says, I'm a minister in the faith. They have moved into areas that I cannot in good conscience continue to support. That's the outfit that he was in. I'm not sure what that all means. He says, I have searched for a church that I can be a part of and plant a new congregation in. I am pleased to find his church and would very much like to start over with you and your ministry. I see and understand the three steps process. Do I need to file other papers with you? And if so, where do I send them and to whom? Also, is there anything else I need to do to become an official member of the clergy of his church over other than the declaration? Well, what he's talking about is a three-step plan to establish a congregation. The congregation does this by coming together and recognizing him as a minister. As soon as that takes place, and we do it in written document form, we do so that the individual's witness can be seen by others. Same as you would stand up with a megaphone and say, this is who this is, and this on this day we do this, and you get married in a public ceremony and you write down as witnesses. That's what we do also when we form a congregation, and then that congregation becomes a congregation of record, and that minister becomes a recognized minister at least by the congregation, and we as ministers of the church recognize that he's a minister because of their testimony. But to go on to become a fuller member of his holy church, we need to have other ministers also recognizing you as a minister. And that takes time. That takes a relationship. And so the place to start is a congregation of record. If someone comes to us and shows that they are doing work but they don't have a congregation yet, they may become what we call a commission minister. Another term for that would be a missionary. They don't have a congregation, but they are out there spreading the gospel, spreading the good works of Jesus Christ, feeding the sheep, and they simply don't have a congregation of record yet. So they would be a missionary, someone on a mission, the mission of Christ, but not yet forming a congregation. So those are the two basic forms of the beginnings of the ministry. But it has to be an ongoing relationship. Many papered churches that you can contact by email or by phone or by mail, they will set up and establish you as a minister, but it's like filling out some papers, sending in a check. We never even mention money in the process. I mean, it would be nice if someone gave an offering at the same time, but it's not required by us. It may be required by Christ, but if you're serving Christ, you'll know that. And you'll know it in your heart, and you'll do that accordingly. But we can't require it. We're not a commercial operation. We're not some church or ministry mill. So we have more papers coming in here for me to sign. No, I guess we don't have to sign this. Okay, this is for the record. Okay, I have a feeling that we're not actually broadcasting anyway, but nobody can say I wasn't here. They're getting ready to go on the road, and we're getting all the travel documents in place and keeping the file on our ministers. Another paper coming. Okay. So everything is coming. coming together, kind of like the Bermuda Triangle. The only thing that hasn't happened yet is I haven't got any emails back from anybody that they're actually hearing this. And I'm sure I'm connected, because otherwise I would have the operator come back on the line, but just that they're having some sort of technical difficulty there. And hopefully we'll get this straightened out before long. Yes, this pastor has also joined the Indiana group, which covers Illinois. And we'll see if we can't get him lined out on how to begin this process of establishing himself with the church. Recently in an interview on CNN, which we've been kind of keeping under our hat, that won't be broadcast for a couple of months yet, question came up as to how many people are in His Holy Church. Well, we have the His Holy Church websites, but we're not the entirety of His Holy Church. His Holy Church is wherever two or more are gathered in my name. The question is what churches are really gathering in the name of Christ? Now, some think that means you have to use the word Yahweh or Yahshua to be gathering in His name. The reality is that you can use those words and you will still not be gathering in His name. Gathering in His name is gathering according to His character, according to His being as a spiritual creature of the Father. When you gather according to that nature, then you are gathering in His name. We were made in the image of God, and then we've been remade in another image. I was pointing out to a brother the other day that the word Aleph, the beginning of the Hebrew alphabet, is composed of two letters, a Yod and a Vav. You have one Yod in the left-hand corner with a Vav going across, and down below that you have another Yod upside down, like a reversed image, like a mirror image of the first Yod. Well, Yod is the divine point. It is a representative of God, which is why you have Yahweh, Yahshua. They begin with the Yod. And then the Vav is always a connecting letter, especially when you find it between two Hebrew letters. They're connecting the ideas that are in those two letters. And what it is you have God the Father and the sons, us, created in His image. But because of sin, our image is altered. And we need to return back to the character of Christ, the ways of Christ. And what are those ways? Those are the ways of forgiveness, the ways of self-sacrifice, the ways of love, the ways of charity, the ways of liberty. God knew, Christ knew, that Peter was going to betray Him. But He let him do it. He allowed them to do it. We have the right to do the wrong thing and the right to repent and return to doing the right thing. And that is one of the great mysteries of the kingdom, that you have an absolute right to do the wrong thing. And no one should interfere with your right to do the wrong thing, unless, of course, in doing so, you are directly damaging somebody else. Cain had the right to go out of the presence of God and start his city-state. And we do not have a right to destroy his city-state or take from it or steal from it simply because he's doing the wrong thing. He has a right to make that error. And he will incur the recompense of that error and the burden of that error. And that is a reality that we all need to realize and accept. God is judge. God will punish others who need punishing. even the idea of punish, these are words that we translate from the Hebrew and from the Greek text, but God really is not punishing you. He is always blessing. That is the nature of God. He is always blessing you. What we call punishment is the blessings of God we don't like. We call that punishment. But that's what we need. That's what we deserve. If you put your hand on a stove, it burns. That's not punishment. That's a blessing. If you didn't feel the burning of that hand, you wouldn't remove it, and your hand would be destroyed. But because you feel the pain, you remove your hand from the stove. It is a blessing to feel pain. It is a blessing to reap the reward of God. It's just when we don't like the reward for what we've done, we call it punishment. When we like it, we call it a blessing. Both are gifts from God. Both are emanating from a God who loves you, who doesn't want your hand to be burned. And so he gives you the sensation, the pain of heat on your hand, so that you remove it. Well, we see the world going into bondage. We see that bondage betraying them, the masters of the world betraying the people, robbing them, stealing from them, burdening them. What do you expect? This, we should feel the pain of that. And we should not pray that we no longer feel the pain. We should pray for repentance and returning to the ways of Christ. One of the things that God warned us about is in the New Testament was the rich man who tore down all his little buildings, and he built himself one big, huge, giant warehouse. Well, that's what we've done in the United States. We, years ago, we used to have power plants all over this valley. Wind generators, water generators. Those have all gone apart, and we've all plugged into one giant storehouse. And when... There you go. More paper is coming in from outside. You guys, I wish you guys were a part of okay. Because we have people going and coming to make it possible so that people may travel down the road in safety. Hope the radio station, I pray the radio station will get this problem repaired. I have a feeling they cannot even hear me. I hope nothing seriously has gone wrong with the radio station or with the people there that have been so kind to create this opportunity for us to share with you. Oh, we do have people that can hear, but the sound is very low. So that is good news that people are hearing out there. Noel has emailed us. I should check and see if more people are hearing. That's very interesting because we were unable to get the radio broadcast on several stations. But things are working. That's networking. We're getting feedback from others. More information is coming in. One of the things we were doing, we have Obi and Shalom have an adopted son that was adopted straight from birth, the state has given them entire custody of it. They were able to do this without taking any oaths or showing any social security numbers. Children's Services was anxious to get the child, but the child is theirs. It is as if and they now travel from country to country with that child, and to guarantee his safety and the safety in case something were to happen to Obi and Shalom, we put together a network of chain of authentication to protect the well-being of that child, so that if somehow they became incapacitated, we could come there and take that child and provide for that child. This, again, is part of networking. This is a job of government. And, of course, we are government. We are the government of God. We don't operate by forcing you to tell us you have a child and register your child with us. We don't put your child to labor for us. We are here to labor for you. We are here to take care of your needs and your well-being. And that is what we are about. But that requires that you voluntarily help us create that chain of authentication. So we have our own holy matrimony documents, holy marriage documents, where we unite the life and womb of a woman with a husband and his family. That's why we form that it is the woman who leaves her family to cleave to her husband. And if she has a child with her husband and her husband dies, it is the responsibility of her husband's family first to care for the needs of that wife and child. That is the way the government of God operates. It does it through the family. The corpus of society is held within each family, which correlates back to this idea of tearing down all these little houses and making one giant storehouse. The way the kingdom works is that we build up everyone's individual house. When you do that and you denounce the father of the state and the father of Rome, but return to the fathers of your households and honor the fathers of your household and the elders of your family, you enter into a new system where you don't have one house, but you have hundreds of houses, because you link those homes together in a network. And now no single home, no single storehouse has the storehouse for everybody else. Everybody should be stocking up. I read in the Capital Press the other day that wheat, there's a glut of wheat in Oregon. That's a very good news. A lot of people, because wheat prices were rising a few years ago, doubling, tripling, that they began to grow wheat locally here in Oregon, which is not a big wheat country. But now they've grown so much wheat, they don't have a place to store it all because they weren't building storage bins. Well, everybody should be in Oregon, should be going out and buying wheat in the next couple of months. The price is probably going to drop. And as you buy it, they will empty out storage bins and put new wheat in them. And what will happen, instead of having one centralized silo with hundreds, even millions of bushels of wheat in them, every home will have some wheat. And can you imagine what that's like? If you went out and got, you know, a 55-gallon or a 40-gallon drum from places like Big R or someplace like that, or you could actually go to the bottling companies like Pepsi and what have you, clean those drums out really good, and fill up one drum for every household. A 55-gallon drum will hold over 400 pounds of wheat. And you just fill that up. You go get somebody around you who has a paintball gun, and you put a pipe down into the end, you know, a little perforated holes in the pipe, a little plastic pipe, and you put that pipe down into the grain. And then you get you can actually go to a hobby shop or a paintball store, and you can get the little valve that they put on the end of their paintball canisters. And you can put that little valve on there and hook that to your pipe, and then turn that valve on, and it will force carbon dioxide down into that wheat. And the carbon dioxide is heavier than the oxygen, so that will start pushing the air that's in between the wheat out. And then you do that so that you get, you can actually tip that.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Well, welcome back. I guess people are hearing us in some areas. Other people are having trouble. There seems to be some difficulty in the amount of sound that people are receiving. I'm getting calls in from other areas. Hopefully they're working it out. Now, I did get a broadcast just now, but it wasn't the broadcast I was looking for. but hopefully things are working better. But anyway, back to this idea where Jesus is talking about the man who tears down all his little storehouses and makes one single big storehouse. That's what we see today in the form of socialism in most countries, is that the high government is in charge of all the social welfare needs of the people. When CNN was here, they were asking us, are we the ones that are leaving society or abandoning society? And of course, we're not the ones that are abandoning society. It is all those people who look to government to solve their problems that are abandoning society. Because we actually look to society. We look to our neighbors. We are there for our neighbors. And that is very important. All of our neighbors do not see the kingdom and are not in love with the kingdom as we are. So we seek those others who are in love with the kingdom, who do seek the kingdom ways, to live by faith, hope, and charity. And that's very important to us in sharing this idea of the gospel, of everyone having their little storehouse. Like I said, you could get those barrels, put in a little carbon dioxide. There's several ways you can do it. You actually just go buy some dry ice, and before you start pouring that grain into the barrel, throw the dry ice into the bottom of the barrel. Be careful handling the dry ice. Use gloves, and then pour the grain in on top. You could do the same with rice, but right now there happens to be a glut on grain. That 400 pounds of grain, or if you got two barrels, that 800 pounds of grain would sustain your family very well for a year if it was a small family. That's 400 pounds of bread, 400 loaves of bread in there. If you went and bought 400 loaves of bread, it would take up a huge amount of space. It would not keep for more than a few weeks at the most. But in that grain form, it would keep for years. And with the carbon dioxide, it would keep rather well for quite a few years. Now, put it in a cool place where the temperature remains constant, and you have better insurance than with Prudential to sustain your family in hard times. Get a grist mill so you can grind it and turn it into flour and turn it into biscuits or bread or tortillas. You don't even need any yeast. You can just make tortillas, your typical unleavened bread. That will not be the only thing you'll want to eat for a year, but it will supplement your diet with nutrition that you might not be able to get otherwise. You would still have to be looking for other forms of food. One of the things we also encourage in congregations is that they get together and a network of congregations, so that some of your congregations are in the countryside and some of them are in the city, and you have to go and support one another. When the shop burned down today at Spoon River, or last night, they lost thousands of dollars worth of equipment. They lost the building itself. It's a terrible tragedy. But the first people they should turn to is their local congregation, the people who they have been fellowshipping with. And then they can turn to the network that they have been tithing to and sharing with for years and looking after for years, because the church is your social insurance. Unfortunately, what a lot of people are doing, they're doing like the foolish virgins. They're out there dancing. They're doing their own thing. They're not worried about anybody else. They don't tithe to anybody. They don't share with anybody but themselves and maybe a few people around in their local community, you know, their buddies, the people that, you know, rub their backs and everything and tickle their ears, the ministers that tickle their ears, and make them feel good about their salvation and say, you're saved already, but don't forget to buy insurance, because if you really need any help, I'm not going to be there for you. I mean, that's what's going on in the world today. The churches aren't there for one another. They don't care for their widows, their orphans, their needy, their downtrodden, those that are suddenly injured by calamities beyond their control. That is not the ways of the kingdom. The ways of the kingdom is that you're constantly, diligently striving to be sure that you can be of utmost assistance to your neighbor. And then you do this in a charitable fashion so that when calamity strikes you, your neighbor will be there for you. That is the way of the kingdom. That is the way of God's system of government. Unfortunately, anger and resentment and hostility, unforgiveness creeps in and divides people. You start forming a congregation and then somebody has an opinion different than yours and you don't want them to voice it. You don't want them to explain it. You actually intimidate them so that they don't tell you what's on their mind or what's on their heart. And when they maybe finally blow their top and tell you what was on their mind or heart, you hold it against them. Like, how dare they speak their mind and their heart? Well, that goes back to what I said about Nimrod and Cain. They have every right to blow their top. and get angry. It's wrong that they do so, but they have a right to do the wrong thing. We are not judges. We are not the passers of judgment. They make these choices. They do these things, and we are to forgive them instantly. Now, God will judge them. God does not have to forgive them, but God loves them. He has forgiven them, but he may love them with tough love and make life more difficult for them because of their anger and resentment and their judgment and their blindness that comes from being angry and judgmental and resentful. Now, the ways of Christ is to be constantly forgiving. When someone chastises you, you bless them. You don't hold it against them. And you keep the union of your congregation. You keep an eye on those souls who have come and said they believe you are the minister of Christ. Remember the blind man that Christ healed with his spittle in the mud and clay that he rubbed in his eyes. The man never saw Jesus. He went and was eventually cast out of the temple. He didn't have faith in Jesus. Jesus just had faith that if he healed him, that he might see. Not just with his eyes, but with his heart. And then you see Jesus doing something you didn't see very much of, probably not at all, in the New Testament. He actually went looking for the man. He strove to find the man and found him and said, "Now who do you believe in?" And the man said, "Jesus." He didn't know who he was talking to, but he said, "I believe in Jesus because Jesus healed me." But he was a man of little faith. He didn't just believe to begin with. He had to be healed first. And then he would believe. And this is always a contention. From the very beginning, the first miracle of Christ, or not the first one, but the first healing that he did of the man's son who was possessed, he said, "Do you believe?" And the man said he did, but he needed help with his unbelief. To believe in the ways of Christ is to live them whether they give you reward or not. That is the ways of Christ. To not force your neighbor to contribute, but to be willing to contribute to your neighbor. To give away. Not to keep a close accounting. "Well, I did this for you, now you have to do this for me." But when you give away. You actually give away from yourself. And you're constantly giving, you're constantly sharing, you're constantly forgiving, you're constantly patient, because that's the way you really are. You don't have to try to be patient. You are patient. You don't have to try to forgive. You're just forgiving, because it's written on your heart to be that way. If you try to enter into the kingdom, rather than be a living creature with the attitude of Christ, a beatitude, then you will just have nothing but frustration and anxiety. And terrible things will happen to you. And you'll blame it on God. That's just amazing that you'll blame your calamity on God. I mean, it's like God made the government. The governments were instituted by God. You instituted the government that you have. You deserve the governments that you have. And if you have no government at all, if you have not consistently tied to a government of faith, hope, and charity, and love, and consistently forgiven to your neighbor, when I say tithe, I don't mean send me stuff, but, you know, contribute into your community and to your greater community. This is why the network is important. It's very, you know, we're somewhat popular with the people around us. There are some that hold angry resentment, but we can't do anything about that. They just we can't make them give up their anger. You can tell when somebody you're doing the right thing because they're afraid to even look at you. They're afraid to even talk to you. They have other people talk to you. they won't communicate with you. Because they feel guilty about their anger. They're angry, but they feel guilty about it. Because they won't let it go. It just eats them up from inside. And they make bad calls and bad judgments. We see this all over the world. And that's not the ways of the kingdom. The ways of the kingdom is constantly loving, constantly forgiving, not afraid to talk to anyone, to be there for anyone. We have begun to focus on the network. We find some amazingly interesting principles applied within the network. The network is very simple. You go on the website, you pull down the little drop-down menu from the guy with the little throwing net, and you find local network, people, congregation. If you're in Illinois or Indiana or any of those nearby states, you can just go down and find the state, and you click on it, and it'll be the Indiana group for now. When there's enough people in Illinois, we will turn that into the Illinois group. If there's enough people in Nevada, we will make Nevada the Nevada group. Well, Nevada is pretty sparsely populated. We have a contact minister in Nevada, but he's down there in a more populated area of Las Vegas. He's not going to be there for all. He's planning on moving, probably up into the Idaho or Oregon area. But for the time being, he's your contact minister down there. You need to form that network. But you join that network, you find someone on that group already who will volunteer, you can volunteer yourself, to be a contact minister for others. Then you start campaigning. Start saying, telling them about where you're coming from, and saying that you would like to devote some time to helping keep track of other souls that are in your area. You're just a contact minister. You're ministering this contact concept of the network. That's it. You don't have to marry people and ordain people and baptize people. You don't have to do that. You just have to be someone willing to minister this contact network, the living network. And so two or three people pick you. You're a contact minister. You go on the group with them, and you need to work at how they're working at their own groups to expand that. And then hopefully, eventually, this will lead to congregations of record in your area. Then what can you do? You can do, it's unbelievable what you can do. There's no limit to what you can do. You're moving towards the kingdom, an infinite kingdom. You can steadily move out of the system of the world. So you become less and less of the world and more of the society established by Christ, which we call the church or the kingdom, or, you know, you can put a number of labels on it. You start congregating together, seeking to live by faith, hope, and charity. That means you have to contribute to that network, become a part of it. And contributing to that network isn't just sending lots of emails to that network, but it's contributing to the idea of coming together as a network. So, the sound has improved, according to Noel. I'd love to know where Noel is from. They can shoot me another email and tell me, what area are they in? Because I kind of recognize their email, but I see the name. Is this that up in Montana? Could be. I'm just guessing. They didn't sign with their whole name. I won't give their name over the air, but they know who I'm talking about because they say the sound is coming in better. So evidently the radio station is getting these problems worked out. We're moving. We're moving along here. We're developing better and better systems. We're connecting more and more people. We've got people connecting in almost every day on the Kingdom News list. And then they should be getting an automatic email, an automated email that notifies them that they can also join the Living Network. Then when you get on the Living Network, I mean, we've got 30 people on one group in a network, and none of them or have successfully gotten two people together to pick a contact minister. That's really rare. Most every state has contact ministers. But we need to get those people involved in the network. And this is what was interesting, is that people are so used to having somebody else set it up, and we just sign up, and that's it, and we don't have to do any more. But we don't do it that way here at the Kingdom, at His Holy Church. You want to participate, you have to reach out. You have to, you know, the prodigal son didn't just sit back there and say, oh, yeah, I want to return. You know, call up his dad. Dad, would you send the limo around to pick me up? Because I want to come back, and because this is really a drag where I'm working now. No. He got up and started heading back towards his father, to the ways of his father. He started taking on the responsibility for where he had gone and started returning. And that's what we need to do. We need to start returning to the ways of the Kingdom. And that means we have to care about others. And if you care about others, you'll join the network, not for what you can get out of the network, but what you can bring to it. You'll want to volunteer. You'll want to seek out those contact ministers who are volunteering. If you don't think you need to be a volunteer contact minister, that's understandable. Maybe you shouldn't be. But if you want to be a part of the network, you have to pick a contact minister. So you have to ask, who's the contact ministers on this group? Who's closest to me? Who's doing the best job? You can change that contact minister anytime. Once you start getting the Living Network newsletters, which you will get as soon as you elect a contact minister or someone that you hope to become, to have become your contact minister. And then he becomes part of your buddy system, your congregation that is seeking to do right by one another. That is what I was just passing an envelope out to the sliding doors here. I wiggled it and some hand came and took it away. It's very important that we bear witness one to each other, that we become a witness one for each other. That's the way the system should work. That's the way we need to work as a part of the system of the Kingdom, that we are here to bless our neighbor and our community. And you have to work at that. And you will not be able to do that unless you're a forgiving soul. A soul that wishes to bless one another. We're coming through loud and clear, at least in part of the country. So they're hearing us, hearing my comments here. More people. Yeah, some people have been having trouble connecting and listening. We'll send out a little news that evidently there was a glitch. Support the local radio station, First Amendment Radio. You know, they have to buy lots of equipment and man that equipment. These radio programs don't just come to you because you log on. They come to you because people are working behind the scenes to make them happen. We'd like to go to a talk show. We can only do that if we have DSL or buy another $1,000 worth of equipment. If we do that, then people can call in direct and we'll feed that right back to the radio station. We can help control the levels a little bit better. And that makes their work easier. We can maybe be of greater service answering and responding to your questions directly. Join the Living Network by going to the website hisholychurch.net. If you're in the Carolina area, Florida area, any of those areas back there where you think you can make it to the little seminar we're having there in Fort Mill, South Carolina, on the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, I'll be there a little bit longer, forming a local congregation there. But we can also, some of you can come from Tennessee and Georgia and see what we have. You need to register, though. There's no obligation once you register, but if you think you can make it, let them know. There's a telephone number to call there with the links. Go to you should be getting the Kingdom newsletter, and you would have got that last night. If you didn't get it last night, you're not on the Kingdom news list, or there's something wrong with your membership, and let me know, and we'll straighten that out. But actsinmotion.com has the information. They're the ones who are sponsoring the event. There will be other speakers there, and we promise to make it as interesting as we can sometimes do. When we were here, many of the people here, we had what we call campfire talk, things we don't talk about on the radio. Hopefully we'll have more information about some of the progress that we're making here and there in the field of this network. If you're one of the wonderful things about the radio station is you can pick it up anywhere in the world. And now that we're in Africa and Asia and Australia, we've been in. If you're in Australia, you need to join the network. They're just looking for more. We got people in Australia and New Zealand, anywhere in that Tasmanian wonderland down there. Join the network. Become a part of that network. Start finding one another. You guys are going to go through very hard times in that country, too, not too distant future. You're going to need one another. You need to start building that network. And there's so much we can do now. The more we do now, the less burden we will have in the future. And the more lives we can save, the more souls we can save. Salvation is not for the dead. It's for the living. If you are not willing to save the life of people today, where you are living, how can you imagine that you have the character of Christ? How can you imagine that you will be fit for the kingdom of God? You can have your ministers say, oh, you're saved just because you believe in Jesus. But if you're not doing what he said, if you're not tending to the loving commandments that he gave us, then he says, you're not his brother. You're not his sister. You're not a part of his family. So let's turn around. Let's seek that kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, which requires that we live by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. Well, now we're receiving more information from other states. They are receiving this broadcast. It will probably spread now everywhere. So, till we meet again, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.